Again to you all. And as you notice that there's no call to worship. But I will tie it in with the message this morning. But before we move on, I just would like to ask another word of prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you again, Father, for this moment. Yes, Father, the desire of our heart is to learn to know you more. That it is such an important that we need to have that deep relationship with you through messages, through our devotions, through our reading and our daily prayers with each other. Thank you now, Father, that as this message to be delivered, may it be able to lift us up in the way how we acknowledge of your love for us. In your name I pray. Amen. The title, as you see your bulletin, the title to it is Refocus Our Focus. Refocus Our Focus. This year, we know that we have gone probably April, this is our last day of March. April will be tomorrow. But as we begin last year of this year, from January up to this moment, I believe most of you, some of you, have probably made a promise to yourself. But I just want to visit now that from that year up to this moment, how are we standing to the things that we had promised to ourselves, to our loved ones, to our family, to our children, or spend more time in our devotions? We have theme that has gone. I mean, we have some themes that each month we put an emphasis to that in particular theme. January, I want to collect you back, growing back so that, like I said, we need to refocus. Where are we heading, my friends? Because your iPhone, it has an autofocus. But most of it, just as we age, we need manually focus. Some of us, we go to our optometrist and gain and have prescription to dial our visions. But that's our physicality. But I want to point out more in our spiritual focus. So last January, our focus was about, our theme was about commitment. Has that commitment that you have made as of January is still getting stronger? Or is just falling away? Last month was about friendship. That commitment you made, have you met a friend that made you aware of that commitment that you have made? Friendship and love. That was last month. This month is what? What is it about, my friends? Do you guys know what's our theme this month? Devotion. Or devoted. So how is your devotion, in your daily devotion? Are they in autofocus or manual focus? So let's start now in our scripture reading, Philippians. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Are we there? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And the Bible reads, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As we continue to look forward to this year that the Lord has given us, sometimes we tend to look back in regrets or remorse of the things that we did not get accomplished for the Lord in the past year or years. We tend to go back more rather than focusing on what I had, we tend to focus more on what was left behind. What was left behind? But we must not allow the failures of the past to cloud our vision of the future. We can never change the past, but we can learn from the past. But by the grace of God, we can make the most of the future. So remember those things which will help you forward, but forget those things which will only hold you back. That memory text, that scripture reading itself, in verse 14, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That there's a word there that's very, really important called prize. When you are any areas of getting engaged in such a way of, even let's put it work. When you go to work, you want to get paid. When you run a race, you want to train for the best to gain that prize. But what happens if you don't energize yourself and practice yourself? Do you think you will gain that prize? No. But it says here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's a high calling from Christ for each and every one of us to gain that prize that God is ready to give to those when he come and take his children home. Because our hope is in Christ, we can let go of past guilt and look forward to what he will help us become. Don't dwell on your past. Instead, grow in knowledge of God by concentrating on our relationship with him. Not tomorrow, now. Sometimes we, as Christians, stray from God in our heart, grow weary in well-doing, and grow slack in our commitment. Remember I said earlier, the commitment we had from the beginning of this year, is it still going stronger and stronger and stronger? It is during these times that our life seems to get out of focus. We fail to see that we are heading in a direction contrary to God's direction for our lives. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 to 5. Turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. Three verses 1 to 5. Are we there? It says, finally, brother, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now, May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Let's go back and touch on the first three verses of this chapter. It says, beneath the surface of routine of daily life, a fierce struggle among invisible spiritual powers is being waged. The question I ask is, how can anyone pray on all occasions? This week, we had prayer week. We had prayer week from 6, start from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And in that in our prayer week, each hour has leaders in those hours. And I find it, brothers and sisters, that through those hours, how had we engaged our time? My wife is the leader for from 7 to 8. I could only speak to those people engaged in those hours. I don't know the rest of those last hours. But I find it such very uplifting that we can engage in not just a personal interaction, but even in our technology, we can still reach with one another in prayer. One way is to make quick. How is your prayer life? That's my question. How is your prayer life? He says, one way is to make quick, brief prayers your habitual response to every situation you may meet through the day. Another way is to order your life around God's desire and teachings so that you may your very life becomes your prayer. You can make prayer your life and your life a prayer while living in a world that needs God's power influence. Friends, you can see left and right in our country. Shooting, killing, taking advantage. Look at it, the way how we protect our homes. You have alarm system, you have guardrails, you have every possible technology that you can think of to protect your home. Why? We are living in the last days, my friends. There's no more safe place to live. This past week, I was stunned. I thought I was living in a very good neighborhood. But my granddaughter came home and she said there was a bomb threat in her school. One of the highest school districts in California having bomb threats. So there's no more safe place, my friends, to live on. Whether you are in East Palo Alto, you're West Palo Alto, name it, there's no more safe place. God is coming soon. Listen, take the threat of a spiritual attack seriously. Study your Bible to recognize Satan's style and tactics. Memorize scriptures so it will be a source of help no matter where you are. Practice. We are here today to what? To learn, to be educated, to have spiritual feeding. But look what it says. Practice what you are taught by sound spiritual leaders, because the best is yet to come. Now, attention, brothers. The best is yet to come, don't we think so? What is that? The best is yet to come. Tomorrow, like Sister Andrea just said, what is tomorrow? Easter Sunday? But in a way that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. But the way how Christian evolves in the way how this world seems to creep in the way how we celebrate that resurrection day, how it became that way. Because it's the enemy creeping into the world to say that it is good. Even the elect will be tempted. Even us here studying. So our main defense is prayer that God will protect us from evil one and that he will strengthen us. Prayer. Daily devotion. Daily reading his word. But I want to touch on verse 5 of that chapter, chapter 3, verse 5. I draw your attention to the final statement that Paul writes in verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. Are you patient waiting for Christ? We become very impatient, my friend. Very impatient. You go in a line of trying to return your merchandise at Walmart, and you see the line is from here to the door. You have that patience to wait. Or you are hungry, and the line at, I don't have my best restaurant, Hometown Buffet. It's no longer the one at McCarthy. That was my favorite restaurant. But sometimes line can be long as well. But the word direct in the Greek means to be strengthened fully. It implied that their focus had become blurred or not clear. Paul prayed that the Thessalonians would get refocused, that they might refocus their lives on Christ and his will for their lives. As we consider this year, or the beginning, or today, and so on. Let's take time to refocus our lives on Christ and his will for us, for each of our lives. It is time to refocus our focus. We can wipe if your glass are blurry or dirty, clean it up. So that you have a better vision in your seeing, looking at your path. That way you won't stumble. What other things that we need to refocus? How about our passion? If I may ask, what are your passion in life? Why are you here? Is this your passion to come and worship our Lord and our Savior? What other passions you may have? Defining our terms. Passion is ardent affection or love. A strong desire or affection for some object, cause, etc., and the object of such desire or affection. Psalms, let's turn to Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Here it says, "You, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." This is a prayer. This is a reconciliation that David longed for when he was hiding from his enemies in the barren desert of Judah. He was lonely. He was lonely there. And look what he says. David was intensely lonely. He longed for a friend he could trust to ease his loneliness. And that's the prayer he requested. That's the prayer he asked. He said, "Oh God, you are my God. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land." That was his longing for. That was his passion. He said, "If you are lonely or thirsty for something lasting in your life, remember these verses. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So when you are in that loneliness, when you are in that area that you could no longer escape from it, God will be listening. Oh God, you are my God." That would God alone can satisfy our deepest longing. Another passion that we need to have. We should love God above all else. We should love God above all else. Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Amen. Bible reads, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your" what? Heart. Valerie was just mentioning about the sincerity of your heart. "And with all your soul and with all your strength." The Jews in the Old Testament, this remains the most important text in Deuteronomy. In the New Testament, Jesus reiterates this, and he says, according to the Lord Jesus, to love God is the great and the first commandment of all. To love God with all one's heart is the very soul and essence of Christianity. If we love God as we should, we will willingly serve him as we patiently wait for his Son coming down from heaven. Like I repeat, are we patient enough to wait for his soon return? But this passion we have, we often fail to love God as we should. What causes us to fail in our love for God? What causes us to fail in our love for God? Like I said, sometimes the world steals our affection. Sometimes the world steals our affection. Let's go to Matthew 6, 24. Amen. The Bible reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Yes. Sometimes the world steals our affection. Why? In the Silicon Valley, in this area where we live in, friends, we got too caught up to meet what we need. We get caught up with the rat race of Silicon Valley and the high cost of living. Don't we all? We should not be fascinated with our possessions, lest they possess us. Sometimes our possession become now our master. It possesses us. We spend more time. My brother-in-law that lives in Hawaii says, it takes so much time to take care of your millions. It takes so much time to take care of your millions. Don't you know? Don't get me wrong. In the Silicon Valley, all people are millionaires. Those people that own homes, they are millionaires. You hardly see a structure or a dwelling in this Silicon Valley that's not worth $1 million. Seldomly you see. That's why I emphasize that people are millionaires. And that's why we are possession, it possesses us. God alone deserves to be our master. Either we store our treasures with God, focus our eyes on Him, and serve Him alone, or else we do not serve Him at all. Or else we do not serve Him at all. Question: where does your ultimate allegiance lie? To God or your possessions? Or this world that gives it? Luke 8:14. Amen. And this is talking about the parables of the sower. But I just want to touch on verse 14. But if you want to read more in this area, from 11 to 15, you have a better understanding more. But I want to touch on just verse 14. And it says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, are choked with cares, riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Thorn paths, people overcome by worries and the lure of materialism, leave no room in their life for God. They got choked up in the worries and the hustle and bustle of this world. But sometimes also that when we are in that motives, look at 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy. Amen. And it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Demas was a co-worker of Paul. They were good friends. He was a co-worker with Paul. But Demas deserted Paul because he loved this world. Do you love this world, friends? Do you love this world? But why did Jesus love this world? In other words, Demas loved worldly values and worldly pleasures. There's two ways to love the world. There's two ways to love the world. God loved the world as he created it. And also, John 3:16, God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that those who ever believe it in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Others, like Demas, love the world as it is, sin and all. Sin and all. Sometimes it is the attacks of the enemy. Sometimes it's the attack of the enemy. Do you know where, sometimes, when, how the attacks of the enemy? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Are we there? Amen. Amen. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You know what? I like watching when the lions take on their prey. That's in Africa or whatsoever. They have other ways of calling it. What's that word? But anyway, say again. But they hunt their prey. But look at it. A struggling animal, lions attack, seek young or struggling animals. They choose victims who are alone and not alert. Peter warns us to watch out for Satan when we are suffering or being persecuted. If you are feeling alone, weak, helpless, and cut off from other believers, that's why sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have prayer meeting on Wednesdays to reconnect to our brothers and sisters, cut off from other believers, or if you are so focused on your troubles that you forget to watch for dangers, those are the times when you are especially vulnerable to Satan's attack. During times of suffering, seek other Christians you can trust, or keep your eyes on Christ and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Satan knows he cannot have our soul once we belong to God. But if he can get us to fail in our love for God, he still has accomplished his purpose. Satan does all he can to cause our love for Christ to grow cold through death, disappointments, distress, and difficulties that come into our lives. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Did you ever get angry and not sin? I think I fall into that trap. You can get angry, but don't sin. But when we do that, friends, 27 says, don't give place to the devil. Because when you are angry and out of self-control, look at the things that comes out from that heart. Unpleasant words. That's why Jesus said, it's not what goes in that is impure, but what comes out is impure. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your might and with all your souls. In your anger, has the enemy got a hold of you? Repeat James 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I repeat. Although God and the devil are at war, it's not flesh and blood, but spirits. We don't have to wait, it says. We don't have to wait until the end to see who will win. We don't have to wait. Because God already defeated the enemy. God already defeated the enemy. But look at this. Let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. What I'm trying to do here, friends, is that refocusing our directions of our thoughts. We just don't come here, enjoy what Sabbath, go home, and forget. But we need to be, because like I said, friends, God is coming very, very soon. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 12. It reads here, therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has short time. He has short time. He knows that. And when Christ returns, the devil and all he stands for him will be eliminated forever. Satan is here now, even here. Satan is here now. However, he is trying to win us over to his evil cause. With the Holy Spirit power, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. At other times it is we that fail to nourish our love for God. We don't spend time with him in prayer. We don't study his precious word. We grow weary in our service to him. We grow weary in our service to him. Hallelujah. No. We should be rejoicing in serving for him. We forsake our time of worship. We forsake, my friend. I want to challenge you this coming Sabbath, or even this Friday. What is this coming Saturday? What's going to be happening? I didn't hear that. Communion. And what must we do before communion that we've been trying to engage with us to prepare ourselves for communion? We have anointing service on Friday. We should be actively, my friends, this is a challenge I may put, that as we leave today for church, tomorrow, or even sundown, we are not preparing what Sabbath will become. Not on a Friday evening, not on a 20 minutes before sundown, we start preparing what Sabbath will be like. We need to refocus our focus on passion. Our passion, how about our purpose? What is our purpose? God's for us. So we need to refocus our focus. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. Almost done. So please be patient with me. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. Amen? And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command on you. This is Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians. By doing that, we are to glorify God. We are to glorify God. How? In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 19 and 20. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Pardon me. Amen? And he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been studying this whole quarter about stewardship. We don't own anything. We don't even own ourselves. It all belongs to God. So how are we have to take care? How we have to manage what God had given us, especially our lives? What did Paul mean when he said that our body belongs to God? Many people say they have the right to do whatever they want with their own life or bodies. It's my life. I can do whatever pleases me. But forgetting the purpose of God for you. As you can see around us, brothers, around the world, how people being how Satan really coveted them in the way of his tactics. Although they think that this is freedom, freedom, land of opportunity, they are really enslaved to their own desire. Isn't it? Your own desire will enslave you. Taking care of your millions, we enslave you. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit fills and lives in us. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies, bought at a price. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also, he bought us a price, but also obligates us to his service. He bought us at a price, so we are obligated to what? Now telling the good news of salvation. How he loves you. How do you love him? We were purchased. I mean, if you leave, this is a question we all have. A responsibility. Look at what it says. If you live in a building owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building rules. Isn't it? You have to sign a contract, blah, 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 this and that, this and that. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate His standard of living. You must not violate it also. How many of you are saved today? You belong to God. We belong to God. We were purchased by His blood that we might fulfill His purpose for us. That purpose is to bring Him glory. 1 John 15, verse 8. Let's go to John 15, verse 8. Amen. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. When a vine bears much fruit, God is glorified. For daily He sent sunshine and rain to make the crops grow, and constantly He nurtured its tiny plant and prepared it to blossom. What a moment of glory for the Lord of the harvest when the harvest is brought into the barn. Mature and ready for use, He made it happen. This farming analogy shows how God is glorified when people come into a right relationship with Him and begin to bear much fruit in their lives. He is glorified smiling when you bear much fruit. For Him to be glorified, we are to go with the gospel. Evangelism is not optional. We are committed with the task of reaching this world with the gospel. Not just me, but we. We are obligated to do His service. We are obligated to do His service. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 20. Amen? That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We no longer God's enemies or strangers or foreigners to Him. When we trust in Christ, because we have been reconciled to God, we have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same. And thus we are those who have the ministry of reconciliation. Ambassador is an official representative on behalf of one country to another. Ambassador. As believers, we are Christ's ambassador, sent with His message of reconciliation to the world. An ambassador of reconciliation has an important responsibility, a big task. We dare to take this responsibility. We dare not to take this responsibility lightly. Question, I may ask, how well are you fulfilling your commission as Christ's ambassador? How well are you fulfilling the calling of being Christ's ambassador? The message is the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Certainly, we should help the hurting and feed the hungry, but not without giving them the gospel. Yeah, we can go give homeless ministry and so forth, the hungry, the thirsty, and so forth. But there is a special thing that we need to carry on. Let's look at Mark 16:15. Amen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is a gospel? I didn't hear anyone. The word of God. What else? Salvation for Jesus Christ. In other words, good news. Good news. Sometimes the question we ask to ourselves, it says, do you ever feel as though you don't have the skill or determination to be a witness for Christ? He said, I don't have the skill. I don't have this and that. We make a lot of excuses. You must personally realize that Jesus rose. You know that Jesus died and rose again. Isn't that a good news? Why do you believe that he died and rose again? He overcame death. So if we engage and refocus ourselves, that when we go in these areas of missionary or whatsoever, whether just around the corner, look what it says. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, he will give you both the opportunities and the inner strength to tell his message, the message of salvation. He will give you the desire, the strength, because what? You are bearing much fruit. How are you going to bear much fruit if you don't do that? You are gaining confidence in yourself. My friends, my first day, my first time to stand before you like this, my legs was quivering. I couldn't even say a word. But with God's confidence, I still having that fear. But with God's confidence, I'm able to stand like this. The far-reaching impact of Jesus' resurrection continues today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. And like the church of the first century, we have a responsibility to take the message of his death and resurrection wherever we go, ever, to the end of the earth. Although some will reject the gospel or ever persecute the messengers, we can afford to keep this good news to ourselves because it has the power to give eternal life to all who believe and accept it. No other events in human history come to that level. Few more minutes. 5 minutes. But again, Imagine our purpose. So we have to wait patiently. Refocus our patience. And the Lord direct your hearts in the patience waiting for Christ. Defining our terms. The word patient waiting means a patience endurance for Christ. Not sitting idly doing nothing. But actively serving Him while we wait for His return. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? How sure are you? Amen. Jesus is coming back. As sure as He came over 2,000 years ago to be born as the babe in the manger, He promised He's coming back again to this earth. He is coming in the air to take away all He had placed their faith in Him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Question is, are you ready? I did hear no answer. Are you ready? San Jose Central, are you ready? Amen. Christians, we will stand before Him and give. Listen to this. Christians, we will stand before Him and give an account of how we have invested the life that He gave to us. How we invested our time. To those who do not know Him as a Savior, now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Refocus your focus in your walk with God daily, weekly, and through the end of the age. God bless you all. Let's stand now for our closing song. I was going to dispense also, but let's stand. I think we have our closing song.